Hello there! Welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week I'm going to share my first thought reactions to Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. We look forward to connecting with you on those platforms. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it is time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations. And boy, we're officially in the Dial of Destiny era. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, the fifth film in this incredible franchise, is now unveiled to the world, and it's by all accounts looking like it's going to be number one at the box office this weekend. I know numbers probably aren't as high as we would like to see from the perspective of the budget and all that stuff, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm just enjoying the film. And enjoying this time to be alive. And with this fifth film, Harrison Ford knocked it out of the park, if you ask me. So, of course, in this episode, I'm going to try and keep it non-spoilery, so I know that everybody has a chance to go out and see this film, because I know with the holiday weekend, it may not be in their schedule and all that stuff. So next week, once I've also been able to see it again, trust me, we'll get into that in a second, I'll be able to talk a bit more spoilers, and maybe we'll have a guest on and all that to really just discuss this film in full detail. And I feel like the next couple of weeks will certainly be dominated by Indiana Jones, the Dial of Destiny conversation. So certainly ready to talk about that on the main side of our episode here. But before we get into all that, let's talk some news. Cloud City Gossip is the segment, as you all know at this point, if you're fans of the podcast. And where do we start? Where, of course, we're going to start with that Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is at your local movie theater now. So if you haven't seen it yet, go do so. Go see it today at the time of this release. It's Sunday, July 2nd. Go see it tomorrow if you're off. Monday, July 3rd. Perhaps you have off 4th July. That's awesome. Federal holiday here in the United States for a lot of folks. So many people have the day off. Go check that out then. Again, Tuesday, July 4th, you know, go support this movie. I think it's really, really excellent. I think you will enjoy the fun ride that it is. And, I don't think you'll regret heading out to the movie theater, getting yourself a nice bucket of popcorn, sitting down and enjoying this, fun adventure that is the Indiana Jones series. So enjoy. The movie will certainly dominate discussions here on the podcast in the coming weeks. So if you want to be a part of those conversations too, be sure to go see it in the movie theater so you don't miss out on all that. Otherwise, you'll have to pause and then come back later for more discussions. So, hey, it's up to you, but I think you want to stay up to date with all that stuff. So furthermore, the new Disney Gallery episode detailing the making of season 3 of The Mandalorian is now on Disney Plus. So be sure to check it out for some more behind-the-scenes details about how this wonderful season came to life. Now, obviously, we'll be covering this episode in our post-Dial of Destiny season here on the podcast, too, which will be coming around the corner. I'm looking probably August. We'll probably switch back to more Star Wars stuff as we head into Ahsoka season. Yes, there's really no break here of Force Ghost Conversations when it comes to new material, which is a great blessing to have for sure. So we'll definitely be getting into all that stuff as we get closer to Ahsoka. Also, for those of you who are interested, the remnants of the Star Wars Celebration store are now available online. So you may recall Celebration took place back in April in London. For those of us that were able, you know, if you were able to attend and didn't have the chance to get to the store, or if you missed out on Celebration, like we were here, right? You CouchCon, remember all that fun stuff we did? Yeah, and you missed out on the Celebration experience. Well, now is your opportunity to get some merchandise. Yes, they've revealed whatever quantities they have of t-shirts, whatever wacky, fun merchandise that they've got. I know certainly a lot of t-shirts, but they have a plethora of other things that are available for purchasing, honestly, at this point. So if you're interested in all of that, head to the official Celebration website, StarWarsCelebration.com, I believe, or at least search Google Star Wars Celebration. They'll probably be one of the first things to come up, and then go to the store front on that, and you'll be able to check out the items that are available currently. So I know that things are in limited supply, and it's really a first come, first serve, because once they're gone, they're gone. So if you don't want to miss out on all that stuff, and you don't want to pay higher prices on eBay once it gets into the third market for all that stuff, or the secondhand market, just don't play the cards like that. Just get it done. Get it now. Get it while you can. So those are all the news items I had for this week. On the very on the other side of this very short break, we will be back with our discussion, or at least some first thoughts, non-spoilery, of course, for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny portion of this podcast. And this is really the first time that we've gotten to discuss a brand new film here on Force Ghost Conversations. We've talked TV shows, both in live action and animated form. We've talked documentaries. We've really hit the gambit of new Star Wars material when it comes out. Or Lucasfilm material too, not discounting Willow. But here we are at Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, a film that we've certainly been looking forward to for many years. I remember being so thrilled at the prospects of a new Indiana Jones film when I believe it was announced 2016, 2017, that they were looking for a 2019 release for the original date for Indy 5 when Steven Spielberg was still attached to the project. So, and then obviously we got to see, if you recall, John Williams perform at Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim last year, where he played the Indy March, the Raiders March, I should say, with the local Philharmonic Orchestra, Symphony Orchestra, more accurately, I should say, as well. Harrison Ford coming out, Frank Marshall coming out on stage, Kathleen Kennedy already being there, James Mangold, the director, also coming out on stage to talk about the upcoming Indiana Jones film. And that was really the first leap into marketing this brand new film that has led a year plus later to this point in time, the release of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Now, like I said, I am not going to dive into spoilers at this moment in time. That'll be something for next week's episode. So feel no fret if you haven't seen it yet. This is just my initial thoughts on the film. So no worries at all if you haven't seen it yet. I want to give you all the time to be able to watch it. And I recognize that it can be hard to get a family, or if your schedule with the holiday is all this crazy stuff going around at the same time, right? You maybe Indiana Jones is not your focus right now. Totally get that. And, you know, that's the benefit of having a holiday weekend, is that you're not pressured necessarily the first couple of days to go see it. Like I said, you can go see it perhaps on the holiday itself, which is on Tuesday for those of us in the States, if you do have off, or maybe you have off on different days of the week, right? Maybe you're going to go see it on Monday instead with your family, or perhaps you're a second weekend kind of person because you don't want to necessarily deal with the initial crowds of the opening weekend. That's totally fine. Totally fine. We get it. Or maybe perhaps you want to see it a second time before you engage with discussion and all of that. All that is totally valid and fine, and I respect that. I'm personally planning to see it three times in the movie theater, which I can't wait to see it a second time, and I'll tell you why in a little bit here. But here's my initial overall thought. we're getting to the thesis statement of this all. I loved it. There's your thesis right there. I loved Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, even given my experience watching this movie, which, again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I loved this movie. My big takeaways, again, Harrison Ford is still rocking it at the age of 80 and beyond. I think that's clearly evident in this movie in many ways, both physically, acting-wise. He's not phoning in a performance here. Don't let any of that get twisted. This man came to play, and he rocked. So let's get that off the table there. This character was incredible. Two, I love the story. I love the story. I think the MacGuffin of the Dial of Destiny is pivotal for Indy at this point in his career. The meaning and the theme of it all just really, really hit home with me. And as I was talking to Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations on our journey home yesterday from seeing the movie, about how cool this MacGuffin was and how it plays into the overall theme thematically of Indiana Jones. It just worked for me. It worked for me. So I hope it works for you all as well. I think it looks cool too. I can't wait to see if maybe there's a replica that comes out of the Dial of Destiny that we can utilize for display at home. I'm looking right over here at my Cup of Christ from The Last Crusade, and I'm hoping to maybe get some of these other relics that Disney has so I can have them on display in my own home office. So the Dial of Destiny works for me. Again, story worked. I loved all of it. No gripes or criticisms for me about any of this stuff. The ancillary characters were incredible. I'm looking at you, Antonio Banderas. And of course, I think you can't say any of this to be the case without at least alluding to Phoebe Waller-Bridge as the new character, Indy's goddaughter, as we know from the trailers, Helena Shaw. I thought she was fantastic. Really a great counterpart to Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones as a character. The actors played so well off of each other. Thought they were just had a great chemistry of on-set performance, comedy, style. She's kind of a loose cannon at points. You never knew what she was going to do. But it was at the end of the day, I think it was for the right reasons. And her overall things that she does throughout the movie, there was a moment where I applauded exactly what she did. So I thought that was just a wonderful character in addition to this franchise. Four, I'm satisfied with how they answered certain questions in this movie. So we're going to leave it at that because that can get into the spoiler territory here. So just take that as it is, and we'll get to that at question in future episodes of this podcast. Basically how it fits into the legacy of Indiana Jones and things that were set prior in other films. So take that one. I appreciated the answers given. Okay. I think I've got two more initial thoughts on this movie that I want to share with all of you at this point in time, and under the heading of I love this movie. Next, James Mangold, I think, knocked out of the park. One of my initial points of conversation I said to Mrs. Forsco's Conversations in our drive home yesterday was that I thought that there was... Basically, what I'm saying here is I felt like Steven Spielberg directed this, which I think is the greatest compliment. I didn't feel like there was this is a James Mangold film, like he threw in James Mangoldisms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I felt like this was like a very clear continuation of the works that were set forth in the original four films. And then this new edition is just a really great continuation of that work. In my opinion, maybe it didn't work for you, but I thought that James Mangold really picked up the baton from where Steven Spielberg left with this project, and of course with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull just in general, and moved forward the dial, if you will, in a way that was consistent with everything else that came before. His directing style matched Spielberg, if you ask me. I feel like this the lighting and the tone really fit previous Indiana Jones installments while also having a little bit of its own flavor there. I feel like this film was a little bit darker at times in just terms of tone and lighting and all that stuff. So that, I mean, it certainly has its own little, you know, piece of the puzzle, if you will, but the consistency is there. And again, it didn't stand out to me so much that I was like, wow, someone else is directing this than Steven Spielberg. How can someone do that? No, I feel like there was a difficult task laid onto James Mangold to do that. And based off of what I saw last night, he did a phenomenal job at achieving those goals. So congrats to really James Mangold on completing that task. And look, there's so many things that needed to go right in this film. The story needed to matter for all of us to come out to see this movie, right? Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is a really great conclusion. So if you're going to go beyond that, then you know you got to have something to play off of here. Harrison's got to be 120% in, right? At the age of 80, you really got to go above and beyond to make it work and for the audience to believe that Indiana Jones is rocking and rolling. The supporting characters got to work as well. Because, you know, there are some returning characters to this movie, right? Sala, particularly, from the trailer. So they're already fine, and you want to take care of them accordingly as legacy characters for this franchise. But also, the new influx of characters, Helena Shaw in particular, right? Like, a person that has so much screen time. The villain, Jürgen Völler, played by Mads Mikkelsen, is another great addition to this franchise. I think his villainy is really, really something that stands out on its own amidst the other villains in this franchise, right? Especially the ones with more Nazi leanings, Walter Donovan, Dr. Schneider, of course, Belloc, and of course, Tote, the other Nazis, or at least Nazi sympathizers, if you will, from Raiders and Last Crusade. So you mix all that together, and it gets to the last point that I have here, too, is that that initial sequence, which I mean, that's the only spoiler really that I say, is like the film starts with that. What we've seen from the trailer is the de-aging sequence of Harrison Ford, where he really looks like 1944, 1945 Indiana Jones. But it's Harrison Ford at like, I don't know, mid-40s, which is just really cool. Especially as someone who hasn't seen any of these films in a theater capacity like this. This is my first time seeing an Indiana Jones film for the first time with everybody else. And I got to live a full Indiana Jones adventure with, in his prime, if you will, Harrison Ford. I believed the technology 150%. We've gotten so good. It's almost scary how good that it all looks in this movie. I can't wait to see it again just so I can see some of the more finer details and all that. Maybe I'll do a RPX or a ScreenX showing here at our local Regal in order to really see some of these finer details a bit more closer. But those are my initial like six takeaways of why I love this movie so much. It worked for me on all those angles. Of course, I didn't even talk about John Williams. John Williams at age 90 just excellently put out a wonderful score. Helena's theme, Chef's Kiss, beautiful. I loved, we also listened to that soundtrack on the way home yesterday. We were able to get through all of it. And it's magical. It's magical. I hope that I'm glad that John Williams isn't actually concluding his career, because this was supposed to be his final swan song, was this soundtrack. But even he said, I'm having too fun. This is great. I'm going to keep going while I still can. And honestly, I can't blame the guy. Why would you not, if you're putting out this wonderful, wonderful music at the age that he is doing, especially for a franchise? So this is your fifth installment, man. Like, how are you still reinventing the wheel and creating new ways to inspire? But he is. So let keep the good times rolling. Why are we stopping? Keep that train rolling. I've alluded to it a lot here So let me get into the actual experience of me watching this movie before we close out here. It's probably going to be on the shorter side of episodes here, because again, this is just non-spoiler. I wanted you to get my initial thoughts and reaction for this movie so you can go out and see it for yourself. For Christmas this year, if we can go back, my wife gave me a coupon book, right? It's very adorable, very cute. I loved it. Where, you know, there's various different things I can cash in at different points in time. And I had three left at this point. So I had date night, I had movie night, and I had a wild card. So I could pick any activity of my choice and we would do it. So what I conjured up a plan is, I actually, you know, I'm, full disclosure, I am originally from Central Pennsylvania, South Central Pennsylvania, if you will. Originally from the Hershey area, and I grew up going to a local drive-in theater very frequently with my family in the early 2000s, where we saw so many, you know, first-run films as they came out. I remember seeing really interesting double features back in the day, like Madagascar and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which really confused me a lot as a kid. Jurassic Park 3, Terminator 3, which was just a really interesting time for both of those films. I believe I saw Pirates of the Caribbean, as well as another film there, which I can't remember exactly what was the double feature after. I think I fell asleep, to be honest, after Pirates, because I was a little young at the time. And when you're in that dark setting, it can be a little cold, too, out in the open. When you're sitting in the bed of a truck, like that can get a little tiring here. So, I wanted that experience again, because I felt like I love drive-ins. We did it a little bit during the pandemic, where we went up and saw Grease there with my family. So I was like, let's do this. So I cashed in my chips here, right? I'm a big fan of vinyl records, and you know, we live in the Washington DC area right now. So on the way up to where this drive-in is located at, it's in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, which is about 2 hours away from us here. On the way up through there, we have to go through Frederick, Maryland, as well as Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, to get to Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. It's all the same road, basically, to one highway to get out to all these places. So it's not like I'm diverting too hard. These are literally stops on the way to get to this destination. So what I did was, I was like, let's make a whole day, like a whole afternoon, day, evening of this. Of this adventure, really knock out all these like remaining coupons I had for the last, you know, 6-7 months here. So my initial one was like, right, so wild card, I wanted to do record hunting. I'm a big vinyl record fan, and I needed some new items for my collection, and there are two great record shops in Frederick, Maryland. There is the Rock and Roll Graveyard as well as the Record Exchange, which are both fantastic. So I spent like an hour or two. We left around 3 p.m. Eastern time for our adventure, and we got to Frederick around 4 or so. We did about an hour and a half of record hunting. We went to not a used bookstore, but an independent bookstore also there. Got a ton of different stuff, so I'll certainly be spending the rest of my day jamming out to these new tunes that I got, both records and cassette tapes, as in the vintage style. Just a lot of cool stuff. Got some really great records I've been looking forward to having in my collection for quite some time here. So that's a wonderful way to start the day off for sure. And of course, I very much support those record shops. I went to school in Frederick at Hood College. So my treat to myself pretty frequently during my collegiate days was to go to those record shops and to, you know, check those out pretty, you know, once every week or maybe every 2 weeks, depending on my schedule, just to see what was new in the new arrivals bins, which I enjoyed thoroughly. Beyond that, then we went up to Gettysburg, and I'll be honest, it was an interesting experience for sure, because for those that are, you know, history inclined, if you're a history buff or a Civil War buff, if you will, you know, of course, the importance of the Battle of Gettysburg to the Civil War as a real turning point, along with the Battle of Vicksburg for the Union side of the Civil War. And this weekend basically is the reenactment weekend. The original Battle of Gettysburg took place 160 years ago on July 1st through 3rd. And the reenactment weekend starts on Friday. And it goes, I believe, to July 4th, where they're going to continue doing full on, you know, reenactments with the various reenactors that they bring to the facility. They do various types of public history and engagements and battles, reenactment battles, basically 5 miles away from the town itself. Of course, they're doing a whole bunch of scholarly presentations and conferences at the same time while they're there. So it's really a big influx of people coming to this town for this occasion. And of course, it's always busy for Gettysburg during this time, 4th of July. A lot of people traveled there. You know, we went past the campsites. A lot of people were camping out in general at the battlefield during this time. And it's just a gorgeous area, too. I really love Gettysburg. I've been there so many times in my life, especially as a history buff, too. So I can't recommend it enough going there. But the real saving grace of Gettysburg is its pizza shop. There's a pizza shop very close to the battlefield called Tommy's Pizza. It's literally across the street from the National Cemetery where Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. It's also Cemetery Hill, where the climactic end of the first day's battle took place, which by staving off the Confederate advances, or at least their lack of attempt to advance on at the end of the day on the first day of battle, really saved the Union. Honestly, if they would have lost that position, that might have been it for the Civil War. So let's say we might not be where we're at currently if that didn't happen. So we're able to be across the street from that and reflect on all those incredible moments that have taken place in our nation's history, especially during this day. You know, Independence Day is a great time to really reflect on all that type of stuff. I was like, I'm gonna have pizza. And Tommy's Pizza, there's no hyperbole at all in my words here. It is some of the best pizza I've ever had in my life. I'm a big pizza connoisseur. I love pizza. I will eat pizza every day if I could. And I would tell you, I would eat Tommy's Pizza if I could every day. It is fantastic. And you know what the answer is? It's the sauce. It is the sauce. That pizza is astounding. It is incredible. I cannot recommend that enough if you're in the area. Also, it's really affordable. It's an affordable pizza. So for my wife and I to get a large pizza plus a side salad and two drinks, that was only $22, which for, you know, you may be saying, wow, that's incredibly high. But for those of us in the Washington, D.C. area, for my wife and I to eat anywhere, it's really about $40, almost $50 nowadays with inflation. So we will certainly be anchored to that pricing when we're there. So we'd really take advantage of that when we can. We love it there so much. It's a great vibe and atmosphere. And you see like reenactors come in and all that stuff, families enjoying themselves, learning about history, people walking by doing ghost tours and exploring the battlefield and all that. It's a wonderful time to be there. So I wanted to do that step. So that was my date night, was just to have pizza with my wife there. Our last thing. And then we drove a half hour north to Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. And we were set for our double feature, which was supposed to be Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny plus The Boogeyman, which I'd already seen previously. I'm a Regal Unlimited member, so I generally see just about everything that comes in brand new that is worth any salt to the movie theater. So I'm like, yeah, why not? I'll just sit in a dark room, quiet. It's a great way to escape from, you know, studies. Like, I've had so much grad school stuff over the last couple of years. So really, you know, I may miss out on TV stuff, but I don't miss out at all on new releases in the movie theater for sure. But I wanted that first experience because in my head, I was like, yeah, this is a great movie to do a double feature with, and especially to see in a drive-in, right? It has that 1980s vibe and feel to it, their continuation of this climactic hero that we've seen in so many different adventures before. And I want to see that continue in this unique format, right? I'm a big fan of these drive-in movies and I wanted that to succeed. And it was only $20 for the two of us to come there. We had all these snacks in the car and it was all planned out. And all. Yeah, it was shaping up to be a great time for sure. And everything that was in our control certainly went swimmingly well. I will say though, it's the summer. It's the summer and you never know. It's always every day 50% chance of rain. And the whole day we've been like, yeah, it's kind of, you know, threatening that could thunderstorm or just rain at all today in some way, shape, or form. And when we were in Frederick before, we're like, oh, it could rain. It kind of rained a little bit on our way up to Gettysburg, but then it stopped. And we didn't have any trouble at all. as we were eating pizza, and then as we made our way up to the drive-in, it also was threatening again, but nothing substantial came down, and it looked fine. And we got there about an hour before showtime, so we were just hanging out in the car reading. Everything seemed up like it was going to be fine. Listened to a lot of Beatles, as they had on their FM radio station that they showcased the sound on. And then literally as soon as the Dial of Destiny started, that's when it started downpouring, or at least, you know, it would come in waves but it never stopped raining. It just started raining a little bit, rained harder, rained a little bit, rained harder. So of course that's covering up the windshield. I can't keep running the windshield wipers because that's not good for the car. We have to keep moving the windows up and down as we're trying to ensure that, you know, we keep a fresh airflow coming into the vehicle, but also not to get ourselves super soaked from the rain droplets coming in. Trying to keep the volume loud enough in the car for the radio that we can keep hearing the sounds of the movie. And of course, you know what happens when you're in a movie or you're watching a movie, or not a movie, but when you're in a car, right? And if the windows are up and you don't have a defroster on, right, obviously you're gonna fog up everything inside. So we're literally looking through like a blurry haze, if you will, both rain and fog, to see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And of course it's hot, right? It's still like, you know, it's 70 degrees outside probably with the rain coming down, but when you're inside the car and all that, it usually is about like 90 degrees. So we're both, you know, getting a little uncomfortable and all that stuff. So that was my initial experience seeing this movie. It was like, we didn't even stay for the double feature because honestly it was probably the best thing, because it started downpouring even more just as we left and as they were starting the next one, and it was going to continue on for about another hour or so, which is basically the whole length of The Boogeyman anyways. I was like, man, I just can't do another where I'm basically so hard to see. So I'm just so thrilled that I'll be basically, the next time I see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, it'll be like seeing it again for the first time. I'll have a sense of where it's going with its journey throughout the rest of the movie, but I'll be able to see the finer details of everything at all. I'll really be able to see Harrison's face in that initial sequence a lot better. I'll be able to see all of like the mannerisms and the facial expressions of the characters. I'll be able to follow along with the story a lot better for you all for our next couple of discussions on this movie. But that, look, I know full well the risks. I took them. This is my first time seeing. Nothing goes perfectly. I had a great time with my wife. I had a wonderful day with her. It was great to see an Indiana Jones film. I loved seeing what I saw. I'm not going to take away any of that. And in hindsight, it was a great experience and a fun journey for all of us. It brought me back to times where I was a kid hanging out with my uncle, going to these drive-in theaters, hearing, just continuing this legacy of the drive-in theater experience too. Like it's something that I hope continues on. I love the idea of a double feature and how this is really ingrained into this community here, that they are able to watch these movies and enjoy them. Like I don't want to take any of that away. It's just, it is what it is. You can't stop rain. Of course it could have rained earlier in the day. It didn't have to rain all night like it did, but it did, and there's nothing I can do about it. And you know, I enjoyed the movie. I loved it. So let me just say, with all that, and basically looking through the movie through a water filter, if you will, and I'm coming out so gushingly adoring this movie, I think that's a great, you know, non-spoiler say of like, this is my thoughts on the movie. Plus all the other stuff that I was able to take away from it on that initial viewing, like, you can't really ask for any more. So I hope that with all that, you're able to just take my, whatever, for what it's worth. If you enjoy my opinions on things, if you enjoy my perspective on stuff, I love this movie. I think you should go see it for yourself. So that is my two cents on the matter. Go see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I hope you enjoyed my story for how I watched it for the first time. Of course, we'll be back next week discussing in further details. I'm excited to see I think maybe on the 4th I'll probably go see it again in some format. So looking forward to that for sure. I'm very excited to see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny again. And with that, folks, we'll be back on next time, next week, with a brand new episode. Again, follow us on all the social media channels. Let's continue the conversation about Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny as we can. And of course, if you're into supporting the podcast even further, we'd love if you rate and reviewed the show on your podcast site of choice. Tell your friends about Force Ghost Conversations. If they love Indiana Jones, they love Dial of Destiny, they want to hear more about us, as well as our other discussions on Indiana Jones, those are all available on our podcast feed. So be sure to check those out. And of course, if you want to continue to support via our Patreon or our merchandise feed, you can find those on in the episode description here, where links are available for all that stuff. So you can see the various tiers that we have for our Patreon, as well as the multitude of merchandise options that we have on our TeePublic site, which includes our Indiana Jones inspired logo, which I think I might have to be getting pretty soon here, just so that I can sport a different Force Ghost Conversations logo out in the wild. So with that, folks, we'll be back very soon. May the Force be with you. Take care. ¶¶